Okay, welcome everybody. This is a call called Seven Sins That Get You Stuck and How to Pull Yourself Out of the Muck. Should have gotten a degree in rhyming or something. Anyhow, so this call is being recorded, obviously. So I wanted to take a moment here to welcome you. Some of you know me, and others may have not had a chance to meet, but I look forward to meeting you either virtually or in person in the near future. I'll give you just a little quick background about me, and then we'll dive into the material. I try to keep these calls max 30 minutes as far as what I'm talking, and then I'll stay on the line, afterwards and open it up to a Q&A so that if you want to stay longer, you're more than welcome to. I have been kind of having some allergy issues, so if I suddenly mute out myself for just a second, it's because I'm coughing. So if I suddenly disappear for, 10 seconds, don't worry. I'll come right back on. So, okay, so let's get started here. My name is Michelle. I am a BCC coach in life, wellness, and business, and I'm also a certified holistic health coach. I have a master's in e-commerce, which is basically an MBA for the internet, and I've been doing a lot of marketing, branding, publishing, and I always kind of say, by the virtue of life teaching me, I've gotten pretty good at organizing and prioritizing life. So I hope this call will be a benefit to you in your business. That's really the purpose of it. I'm going to give myself a little disclaimer here. I tend to not sugarcoat things. So I'm going to be very honest with you, very blunt. Some of these things are, they could be sugarcoated, but I just don't find myself very successful at sugarcoating things. I'm an ILCT grad, and I also teach the Intro to Wellness course. So obviously, I have a love of ILCT, and I want to help, what I consider my tribe to be a success. And so that's where my passion is, my excitement is. And so sugarcoating is not going to happen here. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Okay, if you're on my last call, you probably heard the story, but I think this is still worth repeating. So it's called The Funeral Story, and I once heard that on an average, at your funeral, about 10 people will cry. And if your funeral happens to be on a rainy day, like you could plan that, right, then only about half of those who attended the funeral will actually attend your burial. So it's a pretty sad statistic. And, especially when you think about if you spend your life doing good, living well, and giving of yourself. So the question becomes, what does that story have to do with being stuck? And it actually has quite a bit. It's a reminder that we often lead our life worrying about what everybody else thinks, and that worry can lead to that paralysis, and that creates that stuckness. I'm not sure that's really a word, but we're going to use it anyways, in our lives. So the more that we live an authentic life in alignment with who we are, the less likely we are to be stuck, because we'll be in that sort of infamous zone of the flow, and that creates that leads us to a life that is satisfied, which is really, I think, the foundation of success. If we're truly satisfied in our life, we'll be satisfied, or we'll feel like we are success in our lives. Okay, so sins. So why did I call this the seven sins? When we think of sin, we often think about things we shouldn't do, but oftentimes we do them. And, there's a reason why it's called a sinful chocolate cake, right, or a sinless kale salad, for example. So I'm sure you can relate in your own life, and those are kind of my little play on words, if you will. There are certainly more than seven sins, but these are the ones that I have found that coaches experience the most, and that's what I want to address. So I hope that you do see yourself in some of these, and that by shedding the light of awareness on them, you can work on getting yourself unstuck from these and move your business forward. And that's really just sort of the overarching theme here is, if you can kind of connect with these, these sins, then you'll be able to hopefully, move past them, at least bring that awareness to you. Okay, so the first sin is not being authentic to yourself. And this is a foundation one, and especially, I think, for new coaches. If you've gone into coaching, you did it because you were naturally drawn to it. And that's a major characteristic of being authentic. And if that's what that was drawing you, I commend you for that. So we're going to go a little bit deeper, though, is that if you are falling into that trap of coaching anything in order to gain clients or experience, that's what a lot of coaches I found, especially in the beginning, will do. And if so, you likely don't have a passion as somebody who is coaching the type of clients that energizes them. And so what about some of the other areas of your life? And that's kind of what you have to really look at is, you know, what areas are you not being authentic on? I'm sure you've used the life balance wheel with your clients, and you more than likely have used it on yourself. So the question is, how deep have you gone with yourself? If you say that you want to have, for example, a wonderful marriage, have you really taken the time to articulate what that entails? If you want to be successful in your business, what does that look like in detail? If you don't have a clear picture of what being authentic is to you, then you'll always be stuck because you'll be making choices that are out of alignment with who you really are, but you won't understand that because that's a blind spot for you. And you've got to take the time to do the work in and around your life. So this is, and I guess this was, to me, is the most foundational thing, because as coaches, we talk about being authentic. We encourage our clients to be authentic. And I'm not saying that we're being hypocritical in that you're trying to fake something. But what I'm saying is that we don't take the time to really do our own work and dig deep, deep, deep into ourselves to find that true authentic self. So there's a difference between purposely acting as a fake versus not doing the work or not going deep enough with yourself. So I want to clarify that. And that's what I'm really talking about, is the work within yourself to really dive in and figure out who you are and develop that authenticity within yourself. Okay, so the second sin, you're waiting for that super client. Oftentimes we think that there's a client out there that will be the key to our success, that there's this one sort of magical client that will open the doors for all of your success to happen. You probably don't think in those terms, but the principle still exists. You're waiting for someone in your business to make your business. Let's let go of the concept of a magical client. While people come into our lives that bless us, and using this strategy, while we wait for people to come into our lives, and they'll come in and bless us, if we use this as a business strategy in that anticipation of these people coming in, then you're constantly in waiting mode rather than in action mode. So what you need to do instead is focus on improving yourself, creating more value for your clients, and developing strategies that will move you ahead of the curve rather than stuck in that neutral position sort of on the side of the road. Again, so we tend to think there's going to be this one magical client, and that's what you need to let go of. And maybe you don't use the term magical. You don't use this term, maybe sort of a super bullet of a client. You can kind of, whatever your term is, whether you have a term or you're not, there's always this anticipation, if only I had this one client, or if only I got somebody like X, Y, and Z to be my client, what doors that would open up. So think of it that way. I mean, you know, I can kind of come up with a million different terms, but it's really looking in yourself and saying, what are you waiting for in a client? Okay, so sin number three, you work 24/7. Many coaches work, and work some more. We often encourage our clients to take breaks while we burn the candle from every direction. Without a break and a complete unplug, you will lack that authenticity and burn yourself out and not be in a place where you can give the very best to your clients. So I would say, you know, put an autoresponder on your email, shut everything down, and decide you're going to take time off for yourself. Even if it's a weekend getaway, a staycation, these things can be remarkable recharge. You know, you don't have to travel, you know, 500 miles away to get this recharge. You can go find a local, maybe resort hotel, and just go spend a couple of days there. You can use a, you know, find a Groupon in your area or something along those lines that will, you know, allow you to take a maybe even a midweek staycation type of a thing to really recharge yourself. So in the words of Nike, just do it. Okay, so sin number four. You think in terms of success and failure. Obviously, everybody wants to be a success. Nobody wants to, quote, unquote, be a failure. But, you know, excuse the spray, okay, excuse the expression, but duh. You know, nobody goes into coaching, nobody goes into any endeavor walking in saying, I want to fail. But yet we think in those terms. We think of success and failure. And that's not really the most effective thinking. We've been raised to think like this, and it's been a very unfortunate thing of how we've culturally done this. You know, we identify ourselves as a success if we have made the dean's list, for example, in college or something, or if you failed geometry, which, you know, I got a big old F in when I took it. So we have these sort of black and white things. You win or you lose. You did the right thing or you did the wrong thing. You know, these things can diminish you and diminish your clients, diminish your thinking. So it's important for you as well as your clients to really absorb that it's not about success or failure. It's about the result. I'm going to say this again. It's about the result, not success or failure. The actions, are the actions that you're taking leading you to the result that you want? Are your actions resulting in you being authentic? Are your actions resulting in alignment, resulting in happiness? Do the results that you accomplish your goal that you set out? So, and, you know, I was kind of joke around with, you know, people about, you know, failure being an F word. And so, you know, I always joke that, you know, there's no, we don't use the F word unless it's fearless or fabulous. So get the F word out of your vocabulary and focus on the results that you are gaining from the actions that you're taking. Okay, so sin number five, you don't brand yourself properly, thus making your marketing strategies not work, or hence, don't result in the results that you want, that you're not setting out for. You're setting out, but you're not receiving those results. In my last call last month, I shared some of the importance of branding and marketing. And if you're not clear on who you are and what your purpose is and the life that you want to lead and the business you want to have, you will not find clients who are in alignment with you to produce the results that you would desire. Marketing is how you convey a message of your brand. So tossing the marketing on the wall and hoping it'll stick is not obviously not an effective strategy. Developing a plan that aligns with who you are and what you want to accomplish is a strategy. So if you didn't get a chance to hear my call from last month on the branding and marketing, I recommend that you do. It's about 25 minutes long, and I certainly think it's worth your time. So go back on to ILCT's website, and you can take a listen to that on there. But, you know, expands on the importance of marketing and branding and offers you some strategies that you can certainly take away on that one. So keep in mind that if you're not branding and you're not marketing yourself properly, then you're not going to have the results that you are wanting. Okay, sin number six. You focus on the features of your coaching rather than the benefits. So this is a lot of times a hard one to grasp because the lines in these are often blurred. And unless you really take the time to deliberately identify what the features of coaching are versus the benefits, you're going to kind of mix these two up. So features are the niceties of your coaching. They're important, but they're not what will get you clients. Benefits, if you've heard the expression with them, which is what's in it for me, benefits are what the client wants. This is getting to that pain point that every person has, which you will need to strike in order to spark that thought of, for your potential client, of I want to work with this coach. So let me give you some examples here. If I said, I'm very easy to work with and offer coaching plans for every budget, those are features. I'm easy to work with and easy on the budget. Big whoop. What's in it for me as a client? So you're easy to work with. Maybe you're not easy with my personality. Well, whose budget are you easy on? Because some people, their budget may be the free budget, you know? So what does that mean? It's not an effective way of communicating what you're able to do for them. So if I said to you, my coaching program has a proven track record of 97% of my clients losing 25 pounds in 3 months, you will see successful weight loss with me as your coach. That's a benefit. And, you know, whoever this coach is, I don't know who they are, but, you know, if you've been indulging in that sinful chocolate cake and not enough of those sinless kale salads, you need to work with them to lose those 25 pounds. So, again, it's results. It's what is in it for the client. What's in it for them is, hey, there's a really high success rate, 97%, and 25 pounds in 3 months. Well, you know what, if I've got the big wedding coming up or I've got a vacation or whatever is coming up in a couple of months, I can lose that 25 pounds in that 3 months. That's definitely a benefit for me. It's what's in it for me as the client. But here's something else that I want you to write down and put a post-it note, you know, in your house, in your office, wherever. Write it down. Be bold. Be bold in your declaration of what you offer as a coach. Stop being timid in your words and your actions. Meekness is weakness when it comes to what you can offer your clients. They want someone who's strong to guide them in their journey. You're offering to work with them to change their life, not sell them a food shop or a ShamWow or something. Okay, do not make the mistake of this being a rough and tough and screaming, you know, like a Marine Corps drill sergeant. It's the strength within you that manifests itself externally and specifically with your client. Okay, so that's not saying you're going to be yelling at them or being hard on them or whatever, but it's showing that strength and that, you know, authenticity of who you are, what you offer your client, what's in it for them. If you don't hit that point, which is that pain point, and if you're on my last call, you know I spoke quite a bit about that pain point. So if you're not touching that pain point by addressing what's in it for them, you're going to miss out on clients. And notice, none of this was talking about price. I mean, I said the easy, I gave the example of the easy, you know, pay plan, but it's not, pain points rarely have, obviously everybody's got their own budget and you know, max they can spend and all that, but I'm not talking about that. When you touch someone's pain points, they will do what they can in order to relieve that pain. If they feel that you can solve that pain point or diminish that pain point for them or empower them in a way that will enable them to get rid of that pain point, then they will find the money to work with you. Keep that in mind. Okay, so sin number 7 here. You let the fear and worry drive your efforts. So again, we have another F word, and often the two are related, fear and failure. Okay, so when I say fear and worry drive your efforts, the reality is that they drive your efforts right into the ground. If you go back to that funeral story, why do we let the fear of what someone will think or say stop us from going after what is important to us? It goes back to that concept of failure and success instead of results. It doesn't matter if you're gaining a client or tearing down a wall. You go after it enough times, and the result will be what you want it to be. Be mindful of what you do, and this means a deliberate action and combined with a calculated risk. What does that actually mean? It means that you need to pay specific mind to what you are doing in support of your business each day, both your activity and your inactivity. Are you barking up the wrong tree? Are you sitting lazily in the warm summer sun? Are you putting yourself out there? Are you taking those risks in support of your business? Risk entails many things, not just financial. Are you going to networking meetings? Are you introducing yourself to others? Are you properly identifying yourself? This is a key point if you're transitioning between, you know, what I call the day job and being a coach, which a lot of times coaches are. They're in some type of a transition in the beginning that can take a year or two to transition, to fully transition. So if you're in this transition, this is a lot of times the hardest one is identifying yourself. Do you introduce yourself as the title of your day job, or do you identify yourself as a coach? This is really more of a habitual thing rather than a deliberate thing, which is exactly why you need to be mindful of it. If you're in a meeting or, you know, you're in some kind of social setting, and, you know, we always kind of go the same questions, you know, where, you know, your name, what do, your family, things like that. If your habit is to identify yourself, I work in pharmaceutical sales, or I'm, you know, an insurance person or whatever. It doesn't really matter. That if you are so habitually focused on, or not habitually focused, but if you are so habitual in your response and you're not mindful of making a change to identify yourself as a coach, this is where that real point is that identifying. Okay, so then the next thing is it kind of goes back to the branding and how vital it is. If you're just starting out and you have some generic card, business card, and I'm going to pick on Vistaprint here for a second. You know, if you have some generic business card from Vistaprint and it's got a pretty design on it, that's not your brand. And then I don't mean to pick on them, but I'm using them as the example of any type of a card factory, and there's tons of them out there. So, you know, the big problem with this is that I can go buy the same business card. Everybody on this call can go and buy that same business card. Now what? We're all a bunch of coaches with the exact same pretty design from Vistaprint. Then what happens when your local massage therapist gets the same card design? Then the hairdresser. All it is a pretty design on a card that you don't stand out at all. So that's just a generic design and nothing more. It is not your brand. It is not your identity. And more than likely, it'll be clear to your clients that this is just a generic card from a card factory. So if you're not really identifying yourself as who you are as a coach, you're setting yourself up to not be a success. Okay, so I'm going to give you a bonus sin, which sounds kind of funny, but I'm going to keep with the sin theme. You don't ask for help. So forgive the cliche, but if it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a tribe to support an entrepreneur. None of us, and let me repeat that, none of us are successful alone. We've all been blessed by others, and we've been a blessing to others in return. That's part of what this tribe does. I don't do it all on my own. I have a coach who is absolutely amazing. I have people who have helped me with technical issues that are above my level. I've had people who have helped me spiritually. I've had people who have helped me physically, and the list goes on and on. In turn, I've also helped people. There are a number of you that are on this call that I have helped, have spent some time with, and I've helped and support you. And I don't say that to glorify myself. I only say that to make the point that we work together, that we give and we receive. And I was even use the expression that if your hand is not open to give, your hand will also not be open to receive. So think about that way, is that we all have to sort of have these open hands of helping in order for us to all be a success. Okay. So that is complete what I wanted to share. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop the recording here, and then I'm going to open up the line for some Q&A. So just hang loose one second.